Welcome to the program, God and Country. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is about Common Core, the national elementary and secondary education standards that the Department of Education is pushing on the states. Now, this issue has been on the table throughout 2013, and many of my friends have followed this issue. Many conservatives are working to overturn Common Core. And it has been overturned in many school districts, even though the Department of Education is still pushing the program. Now, to be honest, Common Core has not been of great concern to me, except that it was just another example of the government schools reaping what they've sown. Hosea chapter 8, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The educational leaders in our country, the politicians, have outlawed the teaching of Jesus Christ and biblical truth from public education. Jesus is considered too offensive and too controversial. And the society has challenged God by saying we can educate wonderful, disciplined, conscientious children without the gospel message. Now, do you think God will allow people to be successful in this challenge? What do you think history is going to record about the school system and the nation that rejects God's message? Do you think the outcome will be an incredible revolution in educational success, or that it will crash and burn in a miserable heap of ruins? Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." There is a curse on the public education system in that they've turned away from the Lord. If you eliminate the Lord, there is no education, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And don't be deceived by all of the legal arguments that have been used to justify the secularization of government schools. I have had even Christians tell me that biblical truth cannot be taught in public schools because someone might teach it incorrectly. Well, that's exactly the propaganda that the left has used to get parents to object to religion in schools. But in early America, and in many nations today, the clergy come into public schools and they teach Bible classes. There is always a way to do the right thing. The Common Core curriculum in public schools, which is even hated by public school teachers, is really nothing more than the chickens coming home to roost. You plant poison ivy, and you're not going to get corn. If you leave God out of education, don't be surprised if there is soon the incorporation of a Soviet-style, autocratic, dictatorial curriculum imposed on every teacher. Because remember that only in Christ is there freedom. Humanism, secular humanism, always leads people into bondage, economically, socially, politically, and even in this area of education. So what is Common Core? It is a set of educational standards put together by an organization called ACHIEVE, sponsored by the National Governors Association and funded by the Melinda and Bill Gates Foundation. Now, the big question is, who are all these people behind the writing of Common Core? They got the Governors Association to put their name on it, but I'm sure most of the governors were not even aware that their organization was asked to sponsor Common Core. And it's very telling that Common Core was funded by the very left-leaning Gates Foundation. Common Core was not created by the Department of Education, but the Department of Education accepted all of the work as their policy. Certain groups deliberately write policy outside of government agencies so that the process and the people behind the policy can be kept secret. Then all of a sudden, the policy shows up as governmental agency law. And in this sense, Common Core is way too similar to Obamacare, the President's Affordable Care Act. Obamacare was written outside government agencies without the scrutiny of the public, as opposed to the public meetings that preceded HillaryCare. Obamacare shows up as a bill, and we have to pass it to discover what's in it. Something is very suspicious about the creation of Common Core. For example, C-Scope was a very similar school curriculum that was instituted in the state of Texas. It has since been abandoned. But it included students having a Muslim Awareness Day. Students had to imagine a new communist country and draw its flag. And lo and behold, Bill Ayers, the radical liberal activist, was involved in the formation of the C-Scope curriculum. But even if we can't deduce where Common Core came from, we know the structural philosophy behind it is poisonous. The goal is to have every school in America teaching the same thing at the same time. This is no different than the Soviet method of education. You can't have diversity. You can't have independence. Everything has to be controlled by a federal bureaucracy. This was the state's plan for healthcare. Government-controlled healthcare as opposed to individuals and communities and states taking care of themselves. So we should not be surprised that the left also wants to implement the same philosophy in education. And this is the way secular humanists think. They believe the best state of affairs is more government control. If we have failing schools, they immediately assume that the way to fix the problem is by more control from the federal government. They believe in top-down management, as if every state is too stupid to come up with their own standards and methods. That everything needs to be uniform if there's going to be efficiency and fairness. And this is the global control mindset, where the federal government has no biblical roles and limits, but it's supposed to enter into every area of your life. Now, why do they think this way? I've always believed it happens on a subconscious level. And it affects the way they see the world. It affects all of their policies. As G.K. Chesterton wrote, "Abolish God, and the government becomes God. Whenever the people do not believe in something beyond the world, they will worship the world. But above all, they will worship the strongest thing in the world, the government." Unquote. You know, the Christian community could object to Common Core merely on the basis of Genesis chapter 11. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have the same language. And this is what they began to do, and nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them." And so God divided up the nations so that power would not be consolidated. God's people are always in a minority. And God has always kept the world from consolidating power because the world has a bent toward evil. Therefore, the consolidation of power will always result in the empowerment of evil and the persecution of the good. And in the Revelation, we read that at the end of the age, the ideology of Babylon is revisited. There is globalism, the Big Brother state, and through this, evil is empowered. And so, of course, the Christian community is very wary of statists who want to give more authority to government, more money to government, and take authority that was invested in the individual and the church and the family and give it to the state. One of the complaints about Common Core is that if you don't like what your child is learning in school, the teachers will simply tell you they can do nothing about it. This is what the federal government is making them teach. You can't complain to a school board or to your county or to your town or to your state because this is mandated by the federal government. Evil can be empowered by taking away people's ability to dissent. And the Common Core curriculum states that you are not allowed to change anything in the program, otherwise you will violate copyright laws. So this is the moral problem with Common Core. But practically, there is a legal problem. According to the Constitution, the federal government does not have the right to control education in the states or to create a national curriculum. That is one reason why they are avoiding calling Common Core a curriculum. They only want to refer to it as standards. Two attorneys who formerly worked for the Department of Education, Ken Talbert and Robert Attell, put out a report stating that what the Department of Education is doing with Common Core is illegal. Quote, "The Department of Education will ultimately direct the cause of elementary and secondary studies in most states across the nation, running the risk that the states will become little more than administrative agents for the nationalized K-12 program of instruction, and raising a fundamental question about whether the Department of Education is exceeding its statutory boundaries. The department has designed a system of discretionary grants and conditional waivers that effectively herd states into accepting specific standards and assessments favored by the department. The Obama administration has used Race to the Top funds and Race to the Top assessment program to push states to adopt standards and assessments that are substantially the same across nearly all states. By leveraging funds, the department has accelerated the adoption and the implementation of the Common Core state standards. There is no constitutional or statutory basis for national standards, national assessments, or national curricula," said Bill Evers, research fellow at Stanford University's Hoover Institute. The two testing consortia, funded by the U.S. Department of Education, has already expanded their activities well beyond the limits of the law. The actions of the Department of Education warrant congressional hearings. Unquote. Our Constitution relegates education to the states and not to the federal government. Now, this brings up the whole problem of the Department of Education. Conservatives have been fighting against this whole concept of the Department of Education way before the Common Core issue ever arose. How long do you think the Department of Education has been around? You know, some think that it's been around since 1776, or it's been around at least through the 20th century. But no, it was a creation in 1979 by Jimmy Carter. When Ronald Reagan was running for president, the Republican platform was to eliminate the Department of Education that Jimmy Carter had created because the department was unconstitutional. The Democrats, on the other hand, claimed that the Department of Education was constitutional because of the Commerce Clause. So why haven't we been able to get rid of the Department of Education, either under Ronald Reagan or George W. Bush? No president, congressman, or candidate wants the negative PR of getting rid of the Department of Education. Because to win, voters want to hear that you are for the education of their young people. And people think that the Department of Education actually helps educate young people. And you've probably noticed over the past few years that every time a president would campaign, he would always say that he was for education and make a big push on education. Even George W. Bush passed the No Child Left Behind Act, a 650-page monstrosity that was a federal intrusion into the classrooms. It triggered a huge expansion in federal K-12 spending. Now, the Department of Education in 2009 was spending $31 billion a year. In 2011, it was doubled to $70 billion. That's to be expected with the statist Soviet education model mindset of the current administration. Now, the Department of Education has 5,000 employees. What exactly do they do? They state that their mission is to establish policy for, administer, and coordinate most federal assistance to education, collect data on U.S. schools, and enforce federal education laws regarding privacy and civil rights. Now, practically, we could oppose the Department of Education merely on the grounds that the money would be better spent on taking those 5,000 bureaucrats sitting in Washington offices and sending them out to mentor real students. We don't need 5,000 educational bureaucrats pontificating philosophy and procedures for education. We didn't need them before 1979, and we don't need them now. If you know anything about education, it's not rocket science. All the philosophies and the procedures really don't make education that much better. You simply need to learn the old-fashioned way of learning. And what policies need to be made at the federal level that cannot be made at the state level? There's really absolutely no need for a federal bureaucracy over education. The state and local school districts can do just fine without the federal government. So why even have the department? Well, that's a good question. Kind of makes you wonder whether it has something to do with just the parasitic nature of certain people, wanting to make a living off of lording over others with a rubber stamp. Remember the quotes of Thomas Jefferson? If we can but prevent the government from wasting the labor of people under pretext of taking care of them, they will be happy. He also said experience has shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have in time, and by slow operations, perverted it into tyranny. So understand that the Common Core is part of a bigger problem, and that for the longest time, conservatives have been against the Department of Education because we expected that someday the Department of Education would do what it's doing right now, creating a universal curriculum and forcing all states to follow it. Now, what is Common Core? It's a list of standards. The Department of Education is claiming it's not forcing anyone to use the same curriculum, but that it's only writing standards for everyone to follow. But the standards are so specific that it's really writing curriculum. The only way for me to explain this is with an example. Of the many horror stories in the news about Common Core, there was little 8-year-old Heather who attended a school in Indianapolis, which was using Common Core math. She was given the following problem. Bridge A is 407 feet long. Bridge B is 448 feet long. Which bridge is longer, and how do you know? Well, little Heather answered that bridge B is longer. And she wrote down that I found this out just by looking at the numbers and seeing that 448 is greater than 407. The teacher marked it wrong. Why? She was supposed to compare the hundreds column, the tens column, and the ones column individually. Now, we all remember, and I remember in school, teachers who had to have the answer their way on the test. It was the sensible, the good teachers that didn't burden the students with their own nitpicky ways of answering. But the principal at Heather's school said that they had no choice but to grade this way because the textbook for math and English recently adopted in Indiana were aligned with Common Core and that these new standards would be incorporated into the state's assessment tests. The math standards for Common Core state that third graders should be able to fluently add and subtract within one thousands using strategies and algorithms based on place values, properties of operation, and or the relationship between addition and subtraction. The English standards state that students should recount stories, including fables, folktales, and myths from diverse cultures, determine the central message, lesson, or morals, and explain how it is conveyed through key details in the text. Well, when you have those kind of standards, it drives not only what you teach, but how you teach it. In fact, it won't be long before the content of the teaching has to be included, because it's very hard to dictate standards without content. And opposition groups see Common Core as a Trojan horse to bring in a universal curriculum. And in these standards, there is an ideology. Relativism is the principle of secular humanism. It is a belief that there are no absolutes. Morals are what anybody wants them to be at any given time for the good of mankind. Everything's a cosmic accident. Everything is here by chance and by evolution, and so also morals. And since there is no God, there can be no absolute morals. Well, it soon follows after that that there are no absolutes in history. History is simply in the eye of the beholder. And we really can't be sure what happened in the past. And it follows that there are no absolutes in English. There ought not to be fixed grammatical rules. And there ought not to be any standards for good or bad literature. And teachers are already complaining that Common Core emphasizes modern works And the old value-based novels by writers like Nathaniel Hawthorne or Mark Twain are being set aside. But what's really surprising is that this relativism is working its way into the math curriculum. Now, we understand that relativism will attack absolute moral law, but one would never imagine that a relativist would attack math, because 2 plus 2 equals 4. But when a culture starts going down the path of moral relativism, it soon carries over into their view of the material world. So now there is fuzzy math. The right answer doesn't matter as long as the student has a sincere or logical method for coming up with an answer. And that's exactly how secular relativists approach morals. We know that secularists have for years wanted to eliminate Christianity by taking over the education of our children. All you need to do to create a new world is to get the next generation out of the hands of the parents. And this strategy has been well documented in leftist books and periodicals. Now, in order to do this, secularists need to replace the foundation of Christian morals with some other foundation. Do you know what that might be in Common Core? It's the morality of health. And this is where national health care is connected to Common Core. In Common Core, the basis for morality is health. Mental health, social health, economic health. Everything is subsumed under this category of health, which is really the morality of human prosperity, but health sounds so much better. In atheistic materialism, the only basis for morals is that good is physical pleasure and that evil is physical pain. To quote one philosopher, maximizing the physical pleasure of the electorate and minimizing their pain becomes the great guiding vision of politics and liberal humanitarianism. So beware of this new phraseology of health to sell secular values. If a child has negative feelings toward homosexuality, he's not healthy. He has attitudes of anger. And here, anti-bullying laws come into play. If your child has negative feelings toward same-sex marriage, he'll need to be reprogrammed because somewhere he's being taught to be a bully. Planned Parenthood was actually involved in the writing of the National Sexual Education Standards. And it's all about health. That it's good and healthy to be sexually active. And by extension, Christian morality hurts people's self-image and worth by making them feel bad about what they naturally want to do. And this has been the argument of secularists for the last 400 years, that Christianity hurts people mentally and that secularism and immorality is more in line with the natural state of man. Now, in this national sexual education curriculum, second graders must identify different family structures, which is code for same-sex marriage. In fifth grade, students must demonstrate ways to show respect for different kinds of family. Do you see what they're getting at there? Sexual orientation is defined as a romantic attraction towards someone of the same gender or a different gender. Common Core standards in history, in math, in English, in literature, in health are all based on a secular worldview. Now, there's a video being circulated against Common Core put out by the Freedom Project. And in their documentary, the Freedom Project explains how the Department of Education created a guidebook for measuring students' biometric data. How that students will be monitored with sensors to see how they react to certain materials, using facial scanners, blood pressure measurements, special sensor seats. So if a child reacts negatively to certain teaching, educators can look into what the problem is. And you can imagine if a child reacts negatively to teaching promoting homosexuality, if his blood pressure goes up or if he rolls his eyes, then he's a potential bully. Now, once news of this particular website was picked up by conservatives, the Department of Education took the site down. But the whole thing is quite Orwellian. Most of the baby boom generation read 1984 in high school, and you would think that they would be somewhat reticent to imitate how George Orwell described the Big Brother state. In the novel 1984, Big Brother state looked for thought crimes. And there were telescreens everywhere watching your behavior. And in thinking about the Department of Education biometrics measurement program, I took my copy of 1984 off my shelf, and there on page 36, Winston, the main character, has a telescreen in his home, and Winston thinks to himself, never show dismay, never show resentment. A single flicker of the eye could give you away. And yet we have people in the Department of Education who seriously believe biometric scanning is a good thing. You kind of wonder if liberals in reading 1984 think that Big Brother is the hero of the story and Winston is the antagonist. And here's another concern with Common Core. The goal is to eliminate books and have every student use a computer. Well, that sounds harmless, but consider that the content in the books could be changed overnight if certain demagogues took over the country. Well, by way of conclusion, stopping Common Core to me is like giving a man who is dying of pneumonia a Kleenex for a runny nose. The whole government education system in our country is Antichrist, and the Common Core is just the fruit of the tree. It's not just Common Core we're against. It's the whole abandonment of Jesus Christ from education. And would it have been right for the prophet Elijah to have helped Jezebel and Ahab have a better curriculum in the temples of Baal? Okay, maybe the Christian community can warn the world about the dangers of Common Core because they're supposed to do good unto all men. But only as we tell them about the more serious disease that has infected the education system. I have a completely different agenda. The privatization of education in America. And the collapse of the government schools is inevitable. No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top, Common Core are just last gasps of air in a body that's dying. And it's an attempt to save the body by changing the procedures and the structure without turning back to God. King Ahab and Jezebel were in trouble. They were reaping the fruit of their Baal worship, and Syria was attacking the nation. So the righteous king Jehoshaphat from the south came to help Ahab and Jezebel. But God had other plans. Ahab was killed in battle, and Jehoshaphat barely escaped. And when King Jehoshaphat returned to Judah, Jehu the prophet went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord, and so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord? And this reminds us to be careful what institutions you try to save. And as Jesus taught, only the house built on the rock will stand. The house built on the sand will fall, and great will be the fall thereof. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Contact us with questions, comments, suggestions at our website, godandcountryradio.org. The website you can download this program or other past programs, that's godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening today. And if God so leads, I hope you make this program a regular part of your weekly discipleship, especially if you are called to engage the current culture for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, truth has fallen in the streets and righteousness cannot enter. But we pray that your truth would once again stand and that error would be exposed, thwart the plans of the wicked, grant success to the righteous, let the nations know that they are but men. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.